T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people and I'm feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Man, love that theme song from Doug and Donna. They do such a great job. Welcome back to Overnight America. We're here live for another hour, then a replay from 1 until 2. So if you want to call in, you can. The phone lines are still there at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So before we really get into it, you know, we can talk about Bernie Sanders dropping out. We can talk about the delegate thing between Sanders and Joe Biden, and a couple of mentions today. Even during the press conference, the coronavirus press conference, someone asked them about Sanders dropping out and what President Trump's thoughts were. I'll play that too. But you know, before we get into it, I wanted to mention that on the St. Louis Blues Twitter page, they were hosting a live video with a lot of the different players. There's probably, you know, easily over a dozen players that were represented there. Most of the roster was on this call, and they had someone interviewing the different players, and they brought up to Dunn, what about that Gloria song was so special? Tell us the story again. So he told the story, and at the end of him answering that, they asked him one more question about some of the songs the teams are into.
Are you still playing it now, or have you got a new song?
This year we got a new one. We haven't really been too focused on it. It's kind of just been whatever. We didn't want to, you know, carry it over from last year, kind of just left it in the past. But I think this year it's an Eddie Murphy song, Party All the Time. So you know, we have a pretty fun group. We like to have our fun, and you know, I think the song kind of reflects on our group a little bit.
Can you believe that? So Gloria represented a certain moment in time for the St. Louis Blues organization and those players. And you as a fan, it represents a very specific moment in time. And I think a lot of people feel that way too. Gloria represented that magical run when they went from last place to winning the Stanley Cup last season. And what an awesome run that was. A Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals. There's a couple of times where they were almost out of it in overtime, could have been kicked out of the playoffs, but they somehow found a way, came together, and did the impossible. So that's what that song represents. So I can understand maybe it's time to move on to a different song. But their song they decided to pick was Eddie Murphy's Party All the Time. Was this Rick James as part of this? I can see some people getting into this. And as producer Mike pointed out, today would have been the day the playoffs would have started. Isn't that something? I just can't believe this would have been when the playoffs start. It just doesn't seem right. It just seems so strange that we would have been in playoff hockey. We'd have been figuring out who the Blues are playing. And sure, maybe this song would have been playing Party All the Time. And our sister station would have been playing it for 24 hours after the Blues advance to the next round. That was the first I heard of that. Yeah, our sister station, Y98, would have played Eddie Murphy 24-7 after a Blues victory and moving on to the playoffs. Wouldn't that have been great? 314-436-7900. Bernie Sanders making the call today that he is calling it quits.
I wish I could give you better news, but I think you know the truth. And that is that we are now some 300 delegates behind Vice President Biden, and the path toward victory is virtually impossible. So while we are winning the ideological battle, and while we are winning the support of so many young people and working people throughout the country, I have concluded that this battle for the Democratic nomination will not be successful.
All right, let's be honest, though. He didn't conclude. It's not like it was his to conclude. I mean, the voters of the Democratic Party went to the ballot box and they concluded it for him. So don't make it sound like he is the one that is controlling all of this. But then he said something very interesting.
Today, I congratulate Joe Biden, a very decent man, who I will work with to move our progressive ideas forward. On a practical note, let me also say this. I will stay on the ballot in all remaining states and continue to gather delegates. While Vice President Biden will be the nominee, we must continue working to assemble as many delegates as possible at the Democratic Convention, where we will be able to exert significant influence over the party platform and other functions.
And a lot of people said, oh, that's not how it works. But I think he knows that he's not going to be able to sustain another run in the future. He's up there in age. And he's already old. How old's Bernie Sanders? I want to say he's 78. Let me take a look. Bernie Sanders' age. He is 78 years old. All right. So if you want to go 4 years in the future, ooh, that might be a little too much. And he's already had some other issues. He's had some falls. Didn't he have a heart attack? I mean, but relatively speaking, he's pretty healthy. But still, you don't know where you're going to be in 4 years. So he had his opportunity with Hillary Clinton. The DNC wasn't going to have it. He had his opportunity now, and everyone thought he was going to be the nominee. And then look at that. Joe Biden comes back and takes it all. And I think that was a sigh of relief for the Democratic Party because they realized that a Bernie Sanders was going to have a hard time. Now, it would have been a lot more fun to see a Bernie and a Trump go at it. But this will be fun, too, with Joe Biden and Trump, I guess, because the outside is going to be, what's the influence of a Bernie Sanders supporter going to be? Are they going to turn on Joe Biden, refuse to throw their support there since their candidate, a Bernie Sanders, is still going to be collecting delegates? I mean, is that going to be his way to get his influence still there? Is he wanting to be more of a puppet master? During the coronavirus task force update earlier today, a question was asked to Donald Trump about this.
We know that Bernie Sanders has dropped out today.
I did see that today.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't really drop out. He didn't really. What about his delegates? I mean, he said he's going to keep his delegates, and which is sort of interesting. He's going to keep his delegates, and he'd like to get more. Now, is he dropping out or not? That's not dropping out. When you keep your delegates and then you want more delegates before you get to the convention, that's a weird deal going on there. I don't know what's happening.
So what's...
And I don't know why President Obama hasn't supported Joe Biden a long time ago. There's something he feels is wrong. Why isn't he'll come out? I'm sure he's got to come out at some point because he certainly doesn't want to see me for four more years. We're not we think a little bit differently. You know what? I'll tell you, it does amaze me that President Obama hasn't supported Sleepy Joe. It just hasn't happened. When's it going to happen? When is it going to happen? Why isn't he? He knows something that you don't know.
Ooh.
That I think I know, but you don't.
All right. But either way, you know, he brings this up. And strategically speaking, this is a very good strategic thing to implant into the people's minds. We're talking about someone that you were in office with for the past 8 years. As president, you had a vice president. His name was Joe Biden, but you didn't throw your support behind him. That's pretty awkward. It shows that your support and loyalty is to the office, right? And to the party. Your loyalty is to the party. So you don't care who it was. As a former president, you're going to be throwing your support behind anyone. So it doesn't show a lot of confidence from the get-go. You weren't an early adopter of a Joe Biden. And certainly President Trump could look at that and spin it that way. And I think it's an interesting play. But, yeah, keeping your delegates? Is that really dropping out? I have some more clips, actually, from the press conference earlier today. And, by the way, in an interview, I think this was with Howard Stern, Tom Brady sat down, and people are praising this interview. They asked him about Donald Trump. This is kind of interesting. We'll talk about that, too. And one thing came up during this press conference. A reporter asked him about Joe Exotic. Oh, if you've been watching Lion King on Netflix, some people have, Tiger King, not Lion King, Tiger King. I got to say, a lot of people have watched it. It's just dominated social media. And if you've watched Tiger King, you'll like this question they asked to President Trump. That'll be coming up, too, on Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back to Overnight America. So we're live up until 1 o'clock. So if you want to call in, you can, or text in, you can do that, too. Wherever you may be in the United States of America, or maybe even beyond the border in Canada listening to this live show at night, we love it, at 314-436-7900. That number has been around forever. Or you can also call 800-925-1120. Got a couple of other clips I want to play for you, but before we do that, let's check in with our friend Rich in South Bend, Indiana. Hello, Rich.
Hey, Ryan. There's not going to be any conventions this year.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, because I can't see any governor allowing close to 20,000 people in an arena. Hmm. I think the delegates are going to vote by computers.
Wow. What if it's just the delegates that get together and they don't have a audience?
The Democrat, I don't know how many delegates and Republicans have. Democrats will be over 2,000.
Yeah. So still a pretty large crowd. But they pushed it back by a month. I guess it depends. If they're doing sporting events, you know, if they reopen the arenas and people are playing and NFL and all of these other ones, eventually people are going to get comfortable with these large crowd scenarios again. So can't you see them looking at that and saying, well, if they can do it, we can do it too?
I don't see any sport being played this year, period.
Oh, you don't think so? Wow.
No. I mean, they tell us to be 6-7 feet apart. Are you going to be 6-7 feet apart at Wrigley Field?
No. I mean, pretty much any sport, you can't do that. Sure. When they reopen things, eventually they're going to make it so you can have large gatherings, large crowds. It's not going to be, 10 or less into a small building or anything like that. Eventually the CDC will feel comfortable enough, or at least the task force and the experts and them will feel comfortable enough to reopening these things. And I think that's what they're moving towards. And who knows over the summer when it's warm, when it's hot, how effective this virus is actually. Who knows what's going to happen when that comes around, too? There could be a whole different window where it's not as contagious and people feel like they have the ability to go out and try to sneak in as much gameplay as they can.
Well, I sure in the heck ain't going. This pill is a wonder drug, but people still don't want to catch the virus.
No, this is after you catch the virus. I don't think you'd use this preemptively. I don't know if it would even help preemptively. But overall, though, it's good that we have it, and that really has sped up the process. At least the discussion now of how we're going to reopen things back up is in play because of this pill, because of this treatment that they have in mind. So that's a good thing.
Until there's a vaccine, people are not going to feel comfortable by anybody.
Maybe. I think that there's going to be some people that won't, but I think that there's a majority of people, it may be, I don't know if it's 50-50, but a majority, over 50%, will feel comfortable going out and doing what they were doing before. just with keeping more mindful about their habits of what they're touching, you know, how often they're washing their hands, keeping, you know, Germex or Purell with them, maybe not getting too close to people if they don't have to. I feel like there's other precautions they'll put in place and change their habits that will make it okay for them to go out into public and go and do these things again.
No, until there is a vaccine that guarantees you ain't going to get it, like you get a flu shot every, and even the flu shot doesn't guarantee you ain't going to catch a mild case of the flu.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think people are going to want to wait that long, and I think governments aren't going to wait that long either. I think they're going to be interested in getting things back open when they feel it's safe enough to do so. But, you know, everyone's going to have their own level of risk that they want to take for themselves. I think everyone's going to have that comfort level for them that they're going to follow, and eventually they'll become more comfortable and they'll go back to doing what they're doing. I just think it'll happen sooner than later. Well, hey, good to hear from you, Rich. Thanks for calling in.
Sure.
Yeah, and we had Dr. Fauci yesterday mentioned during the press conference that he doesn't see any conflict with opening up the schools by next school year. He doesn't think it's going to be a factor by that time next year. So let me play a couple of clips from earlier today. President Trump talking about, where do we want to go? Tracking database. This was interesting. This is where some of the conspiracy theories gets in. There was two conspiracy theory questions that were brought up during this press conference, one to President Trump, one to Vice President Pence. The first one was a tracking database, as in if you are infected, they want to track you.
There's breaking news today, a couple of reports from a couple of different outlets that Jared Kushner's team is seeking to create a national coronavirus database, a tracking system for patients who've been diagnosed. Now, his spokesperson said that that's not true.
Yeah, it's not, I have never heard about it. Doesn't sound like a bad idea, actually, but I have not heard about that.
You'd be okay with it if it...
I don't know if I'd be okay. I have to see it. But it sounds very scientific, and it sounds like it could be good based on tracking, but it also has to do with rights and lots of different constitutional questions. I have not heard that at all.
Okay, so some people are concerned it would be like the post-9/11 Patriot Act, that it ultimately led to the FISA abuse. Are there any... Are you concerned
FISA
about
abuse
that?
Of which I was the one abused. And a couple of other people, in all fairness. No, I don't know anything about it. I haven't heard it. I mean, I'll speak to them. I don't think so. They would have told me. I would have known about it.
All right. So this tracking thing, yeah, you have this sort of medical confidentiality. You don't have to share this information. And your doctors obviously are not required. And, you know, they can collect data anonymously, but it's a whole different ballgame when they have, here's someone that has had this. Let's follow them, keep them at it. And this would be a terrible mistake to do something like this, an absolute terrible mistake for a few different reasons. But the first one that comes to mind, obviously the privacy issue. Let's say that you are on a database and all of a sudden you're used to be discriminated against based on this information. So a landlord says, oh, I don't want someone that could infect my place, so I'm not going to rent to this person. Or, oh, we're not going to give a car to this person or rent this person. Or, oh, we're not going to book a hotel room, or we're not going to let this person travel because, oh, we don't want them on a plane traveling this around. So, oh, flu season's here. We better not sell them a ticket. Or what about they find out, oh, we're going to deny you services like health insurance. We're not going to let you sign up for health insurance. You're too much of a risk. We can't give you long-term life insurance. We can't give you... Just think of all the different ways that this would be abused. This would be a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. You don't want to do that. And better yet, I know a lot of these underlying medical conditions, they already look at that when it comes to insurance, but still, this would be used to take someone who is healthy and use it as a way to put a stigma on it based on someone that has recovered from it. That would be a terrible mistake, I think. One other conspiracy theory that was brought up, and do I have time to play this? No, this is a little bit longer. It was brought up by Acosta over at CNN to Vice President Pence, and the question was about perhaps are the death tolls inflated or padded? This is interesting. We'll let them answer that question because Vice President Pence, Dr. Birx, and also you see Dr. Fauci answer that one. That's coming up next on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Yeah, And here we are, Overnight America. I want to thank all the fun interactions tonight. I'm still trying to grow the Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page out of boredom and just documenting what I'm doing at home. I've been posting things on there, pictures of producer Mike. He's got a great one today. You can tell he has been locked away for generations. At least that's what it feels like. People are getting antsy at home. Go see that photo and like the page. And we're going to do something fun when we get 1,000 likes on that page. We have something in mind that I think will be worthwhile and worth your time, that'll be embarrassing for me. So go and like it. Tell your friends to like it. If you know people that are here in St. Louis and they want to support local radio like this and love KMOX, this would be a good one for them to go to KMOX.com/ONA to hear the podcast. And I also post links on my Facebook page now, Ryan Recker Radio. So there was a conspiracy theory question that was brought up during this whole press conference earlier today with the coronavirus task force. This is after President Trump left the room, and it was Vice President Pence with CNN's Acosta.
These deaths are being padded, that the number of COVID-19 deaths are being padded. For example, somebody who might die from a number of factors but had coronavirus are being listed as coronavirus deaths. And because of that, the number is being inflated.
That's a fair question. Yeah. You might also speak about the converse.
Yeah, we've been hearing the converse too. We've been hearing both sides of that. I think we've made it very clear, I think every time I've been up here, about the comorbidities. And so most of the people, and we talked about the Italy data, the majority of the Italians who succumbed to this had 3 or more comorbidities. So this has been known from the beginning. So those individuals will have an underlying condition, but that underlying condition did not cause their acute death when it's related to a COVID infection. In fact, it's the opposite. Having that underlying condition and getting this virus, we know, is particularly damaging to those individuals. We don't know all the pathophysiology. I wish we did right now. We see a lot of vasculitis where Tony and I came from. Dr. Fauci started in the vasculitis and Wegener's. So, I mean, these are things we have studied for a long time. We are trying to understand the pathophysiology, but what we can tell you at this moment, if you have asthma, if you have renal disease, if you have diabetes, if you have hypertension, these are pre-existing conditions that put you at a greater risk to having a worse outcome.
So, Jim, just to add a comment to that, because, you know, having been through other serious issues, particularly the very painful early years of HIV/AIDS, when people talk about conspiracy theories, you will always have conspiracy theories when you have very challenging public health crises. They are nothing but distractions. You know, I can assure you, we have so much to do to protect the health and the welfare of the American people that I would just hope we just put those conspiracy stuff and let somebody write a book about it later on, but not now.
Yeah, let someone write a book about it, but not right now. Hey, how about that? I would love it if you were to go and like the Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page. And what do I see while I'm talking about it? Good old Bob goes on there. And if you're listening, Bob, thank you for doing that. A little earlier, Jesse did that too. So I see the messages pop up on the screen when someone likes the Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, go do it. Here, listen, I know what you do with your phone. You scroll and you scroll and you never find a thing. It takes you 20 seconds to go like this Ryan Recker Radio Facebook page. So thank you for those that are doing that. It does mean a lot to me. All right, so I wanted to do this too. Has anyone watched, and I called it the Lion King earlier, it's called the Tiger King. And Tiger King has to do with a guy by the name of Joe Exotic. Let me try to explain to you what this docuseries on Netflix is all about. It starts with a guy that creates his own zoo, primarily with tigers and other exotic style of animals. So you charge an admission, you get to go in, you upcharge, you get to take a picture with a baby tiger, everyone's happy, they leave. Now, there are animal rights activists that do not like this sort of thing, and it's a conflict between someone that runs a tiger sanctuary versus someone that runs a private zoo. They don't like each other. They're always back and forth with each other, mostly legally. You have this one guy, Joe Exotic, it's so hard to explain this guy. So he's got a leg brace, walks with a limp, carries a gun, has a mullet. Of course, since he's from the South, has an accent. He's gay. He's a polygamist married to multiple men, and he runs a tiger farm. So he ran for governor in Oklahoma. He ran for president as an independent. He is someone that was gone viral on social media. He's made national attention. It's just what a wild thing. So the whole thing documents how much he hates this one woman by the name of Carol Baskin or something like that. And she sues him. And it's just a complete mess. You got people that are, you know, fraudsters, con artists jumping in there. You got other polygamists running basically a cult. It the craziest, craziest story. And I got to tell you, I don't like any of these people. All of these people seem like terrible, terrible human beings. However, there is a movement online to try to free Joe Exotic. Now, I don't want to ruin this series for you, but there is a question about that today. That's right. During the coronavirus task force, someone asked about Joe Exotic.
One of the biggest rating hits of the coronavirus, aside from these briefings, has been a show on Netflix called Tiger King.
Yeah.
And the man who's the star of this is a former zoo owner who's serving a 22-year prison sentence. He's asking you for a pardon, saying he was unfairly convicted. Your son yesterday jokingly said that you know, he was going to advocate for it, and I was wondering if you've seen the show and if you have any thoughts on pardoning Joe Exotic.
Which son? It must be Don. I had a feeling it was Don. Is that what he said? I don't know. I know nothing about it. He has 22 years for what? What did he do?
He allegedly hired someone to murder an animal rights activist, but he said that he didn't do that. And he was.
You think he didn't do it? Are you on his side?
Are you
recommending
sides,
a pardon?
No, I'm not advocating anything.
As a reporter, you're not allowed to do that. You'd be criticized by these. Would you recommend a pardon?
I'm not weighing in on time.
I don't think you would. I don't think you would.
All right, so that was Acosta over at CNN. He points to a juke. All right, if you've seen this series, and we only got a couple of minutes. I mean, we don't got a lot of time here tonight. Honestly, should the president give a pardon to Joe Exotic? I might have to do this topic tomorrow at a better time. I know it's getting late in the night, but so many people have watched that because they're just glued to whatever entertains them during this quarantine. And while they're sitting at home, they're trying to think of something. They could either watch reruns of The Office or Friends for the 100th time, or they can watch what everyone else is so they can at least be in the loop when people post the memes and talk about it on social media. I've watched the series, and I got to tell you, they're all terrible people. I have no pity for any of them. No, I'm sorry. No. Of course you don't give a pardon to Joe Exotic. I'm sorry. They're just watching this, either the way that they edited this on Netflix is just very deceiving, or they're all terrible, terrible people, and you don't care if anything happens to them. You just want to be done knowing they exist. So what about you? What about you? Do you want to give a pardon to Joe Exotic? Would you, if you had the opportunity? Give me a call or text in. I'd like to find out. Or if you don't know who Joe Exotic is, good for you. Keep it that way. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And Overnight America continues for a couple more minutes. I got to say, hey, tonight seemed like a productive night. We got a lot covered. And you're going to hear that in the replay, at least in the next hour, a replay about Bernie Sanders being out, Joe Biden being the candidate. We took a lot of calls and a lot of people weighing in. They think Joe Biden's got this one in the bag. I was kind of surprised to hear that. So you'll hear that in the replay hour next. Or you can go and listen to it live right now on the radio.com app by rewinding. You can get the podcast at kmox.com/ONA. And we've been posting these on the Facebook page, Ryan Recker Radio. A couple of things that we didn't get to today, and I wanted to bring this up because Mike Pompeo had I wouldn't say a showstopper moment, but at the very start of the press conference, the task force press conference, President Trump went out, said a few things for a few minutes, and then introduced Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, gave an update on a few different things. One of the things he gave an update on was the sheer number of people they've had to rescue. I think the number is somewhere like 50,000 across the world, where they'll go in and get these Americans that can't get back to the United States because of this worldwide pandemic. How thankful would you have to be if the United States sends the military to come pick you up when you're stranded somewhere else? My goodness. I mean, that's just absolutely amazing. They've gone through some pretty extreme situations to try to save these Americans that got stuck traveling when they should have came back early when they were given the warning. How about this with Mike Pompeo, our relationship with China? Listen to how he explains this one.
Do you feel like China withheld critical information from the United States, and will there be any consequences for that?
You know, this is not the time for retribution, but it is still the time for clarity and transparency. We're still working on this problem set. There's still data that these good people need so that they can perform their analysis of how to both develop therapeutics and a vaccine and to understand where this virus is. So every country, China included, every country needs to be transparent about what's gone on in their country. They need to share that data. We share ours with the world so that the best scientists in the world can get to the right conclusions and bring this economy, this global economy, back to the place that we all want it to be as quickly as we can. Every country has that responsibility. It started in China, and so they had that special responsibility to get it right quickly and fast. Ask every country, as we move forward in the days and weeks ahead, make sure we share that. Do it right. Do it well. When we do, we'll get this thing back going.
Early on, should they have shared their data sooner with the United States?
Every country has an obligation to share that information accurately, timely, completely, transparently, and thoroughly, just as quickly as they can gather it. We'll leave for another time to evaluate how everyone did in that.
Oh, we know how China ended up doing this. We know now. We don't have to wait. We know. So very much disappointed. And what about the World Health Organization? Yesterday, President Trump brings up the idea that we may withhold funding. We know that they haven't been, you know, if they're trying to show a batting record, they wouldn't be in the majors. They would definitely be playing AAA ball, if that. And think about all the money that we spend with the World Health Organization. The United States spends an awful lot of money. President Trump, by the way, brought this back up later. Let me play President Trump's portion first, and then I'm going to go back and you'll hear the comments from Mike Pompeo.
So last year, and for many years, hundreds of millions of dollars has been paid to the World Health Organization, hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And last year was $452 million, and China paid $42 million. Before that, it was $500 million, and China paid less than $40 million. And before that, it was similar numbers in the 400s, 300s, and sometimes even in the 500s of millions of dollars. And China would do proportionally at just a small fraction of that number. And I think they have to get their priorities right. And their priorities are that everybody has to be treated properly, every country. And it doesn't seem that way, does it? It doesn't seem that way. So we're going to do study, investigation, and we're going to make a determination as to what we're doing. In the meantime, we're holding back. We want to see it very unfair. So the United States, $452 million compared to $42 million. That's to the World Health Organization. That's not good. That's not good. Not fair. Not fair at all.
Yeah. That's one way to look at it. Mike Pompeo talked about the World Health Organization, too.
World Health Organization has a fundraising drive for about $700 million for coronavirus resources. China has only donated $20 million. The United States actually has donated less. So do you feel that China should be giving more to this World Health Organization effort? And can you comment on the U.S. donation?
You want to say something, Mr. President?
We could just say we helped.
At this point, we're reevaluating our funding with respect to the World Health Organization. Now, this is very consistent with what President Trump said since the beginning of his campaign. Organizations have to work. They have to deliver the outcomes for which they were intended. And we need to make sure that not only the World Health Organization, but every international organization, that we take taxpayer money and give it to them for the benefit of America. We need to make sure it's delivering on those taxpayer dollars. The World Health Organization is no different in that respect. They have to execute on the mission that they are designed to achieve. And we've seen, with respect to the World Health Organization, here we are. It hasn't accomplished what it was intended to deliver.
Yeah, it has not accomplished at all. That's safe to say. You know, I said I was going to play these clips from Tom Brady from earlier. He was on, I think, was interviewed by Howard Stern, And he talked about a wide variety of things. One of the things he talked about was Donald Trump. I haven't actually listened to this clip yet, but Mark Reardon played it earlier. Let's listen to it together because we only got a minute left.
Well, he wanted me to speak at that convention, too, and I think that I wasn't going to do anything political because I met him in 2001, and it was probably very similar to our relationship that you had with him, you know. And I met him in 2001. In 2002, he asked me, after I won my first Super Bowl, to go judge a Miss USA competition, which I thought was the coolest thing in the world because, you know, I was 24 years old and, you know, I had a chance to do something like that. I never thought in a million years, you know, man, I couldn't imagine what would come along with being a pro athlete and winning Super Bowls. And then he just, in a way, he would call me after games and I watch your game, Tom, and, you know, come, you know, let's play golf together. So 2003, 2004, it was just, that's kind of the way it was. And it was, he would golf and then he became someone that would just, he would come up to our games and stand on the sideline with, you know, he would cheer for the Patriots. And
all right, you know, we don't have time to play the whole thing, but that's kind of cool little story. You know, it's always a wild card when you talk about Donald Trump with a celebrity, including one that's well-known like Tom Brady. Well, that does it for us. A replay hour of Overnight America coming up next. And you can reach us on the radio.com app, or you can go to Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. Enjoy the night. We'll see you. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.